We have here a set of challenging readings. If you were to come up to Jesus and say, I will follow you, you wonder what he'd say to us, huh? He knows us pretty well. He's on a journey to Jerusalem, and the scripture says he resolutely determines to go. Or another way this is put is, he set his face toward Jerusalem. So it's a Semitic phrase that means that he'd made up his mind and there was no turning back. Come what may, his goal was set. There was no looking back for Jesus. And so he has this on his mind, and apparently not everybody said yes to Jesus. He was constantly inviting people to come with him, and he still does this today. And here we hear some of the either excuses people use, or Christ himself cautions someone that they don't know themselves very well. Do you know what you're getting into it when you follow me? At first glance, these readings sound an awful lot like somebody going in the religious life. But if you look at it carefully, they apply to marriage pretty much too. Look at it from another point of view and you realize most of you have been here. I know I have. I read this and I think, boy, I've been in all three of these places. Jesus starts out going through a Samaritan village. The Samaritans, we remember, were a group of people that 500 years prior to Christ, the Assyrians had conquered Israel. They deported the people in the middle of the country, half of them, brought their own people in. They intermarried, and so this group was half pagan, half Jewish. And they hated each other. And ironically, the Samaritans have been there ever since. They've never left. And they had their own traditions, and they were not welcoming to Jesus and his disciples. And rather than condemn them, Jesus counsels tolerance. He didn't come into the world to be throwing thunderbolts everywhere. He corrected them in other places, telling them how things were. But if they did not welcome him, he simply went on. So this has occurred, and they're no doubt still in Samaria when other people more open to Jesus are showing up. An individual, he comes up to Jesus without being solicited and very, very much in the throes of emotion. He's very excited about something that Jesus did or said, or and he says, I'll follow you wherever you go, Lord. And Jesus says, not so fast. You don't know where I'm going. I'm going to the crucifixion. Even my own disciples are going to abandon me. You don't know yourself very well. He says, do you realize that I don't even have a place to put my head tonight? Do you really want to follow me? We don't know what his answer was. When I read this, I realize that God is saying to us, I want you to follow me, but realize I'm going to lead you out of your comfort zone. We've all got one, and Christ will challenge you out of it. Whenever I travel, because I've always been a bit of an insomniac, I always try to bring my own pillow with me. Anybody do that? Yeah? Well, when you go overseas, unless you want to pay $150 for an extra bag, you can't bring a pillow. But otherwise, and I would say to the Lord, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go, but I'm bringing my own pillow. And he'd say, would you follow me if you leave your pillow behind? Father Gary, leave your pillow behind and follow me. Sounds ridiculous. But that's exactly where we are. Lord, I'll follow you, but this is where I won't go. And he won't take that because it's all or nothing. And you may notice when you took your vows for marriage, those of you who are married, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I didn't hear any limitations in that. Do you? Beginning to sound a little similar to what Christ is talking about, isn't it? Of course, we have limitations, and we trust that God won't pull us beyond them. But he's going to challenge you. He's going to lead you to that cliff, and at some point you're going to have to jump off and fly, and trust that God is going to carry you. Search your heart this week and see, has God been challenging you? Are you backing off? There comes a time in everyone's life, and it comes perhaps only once or perhaps many times, when if a thing is not done at that moment, it will not be done at all. And the scary thing is we don't always recognize those moments until they are in the mirror. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. The safe path, we heard last week, the safe investment is the riskiest one. The riskiest thing is to do my will and not God's. He sees what's coming. He knows the growth he wants to put us through. So we get to the second person. This one, Christ looks at the person and says, follow me. How many of people over the years have wished they could be this man? And yet, he says to the Lord, let me go and bury my father. Almost certainly, this man's father was not dying. Again, this is a Semitic expression. What he means is, I have family obligations. I will tend to those first, and then I'll come back to you, Lord. Very reasonable thing to say. But it doesn't work because Christ is going to his death. He won't be passing by again. This man has to make a choice. It's going to be his family obligations or following Christ. In this case, there was only one right answer. He wasn't saying to abandon your family. Christ is very, very, very clear about that in other scriptures. But this man had a special calling, and it would never come again. What thing has God called me to that if I don't do it now, it will never come again? I can give you a couple of examples of that. Can you all hear me? I changed where my mic is. No? Yes? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Anybody awake? Heard somebody snoring over here 2 weeks ago. I don't want to hear that again. One is the church. You know, we're touring the church after Mass Day. Do you realize it would cost $1 million more now if we were bidding it out? There's a certain time to do a thing without which it would never be done at all. Think about that. As costs go up. We're not out of the recession, but the costs have gone up. We didn't hit the bottom of the curve. It was already on the way up when we bid it out, but we were lucky or blessed. That's an example we all can see. But in my own life, I prayed for years about my vocation. I tried one thing and then ended up in a career. And as good fortune, I guess, is that the office I was in was moving to Arizona, and I loved where I was going. I loved what I was doing. It was a paid move. I was happy. And I was nagging, God was nagging at me to give this a try. I was 34 years old, it's getting a bit late to be doing that. 6 years of education ahead of me, in addition to all what I'd already had. And I'm going back and forth, and they're offering us either this move and all that stuff that I had, or a 10-year layoff and a severance thing. So in the middle of that, people are bailing out of the office, which was in a place called Beverly Hills adjacent, the Fairfax district of L.A. And I applied at some of these jobs, and I got one out at the airport. It was a very coveted position for those of us people who wanted to stay. I got the job. I went out there. I was being trained in what I was doing. It was very hard. I was there, and I bagged on them, and I went back to my old office. And the people there thought I was nuts. My supervisor said to me, I will never recommend you again. I'll make sure nobody else does either, because you're a quitter. Why did I do that? What did I do that for? If I went out there, they would not have offered me that severance, and I wouldn't have gone out. It was the moment of truth, really. I realized that if I do this lateral move, this door's going to close, and I didn't think it would open again. So I came back, and then after much more struggling, I went through the door. And looking back at it, that was the moment. I'm sure there might have been other opportunities, but when things line up, you'd better say yes, because God is passing by. And, you know, time, the meter's running. You know, we have only one life. So, be that as it may, we've all made choices, and sometimes we regret them. We wish we'd chosen the other path, the other career, the other place to live. We wish we'd said goodbye to somebody that's deceased. I won't say we wish we'd married our high school sweetheart. But, you know, there's always something in the past or something that might still be possible, and it calls out to us. And this is the third gentleman, and now these things are sounding more familiar to us. He says something that sounds very harsh. He says, "I'll follow you, but I got to say goodbye to everybody." And he says, "If you keep looking back, you're not fit to follow me." When he wasn't saying you can't say goodbye to your family. This man had other issues. He was torn between his where he was and where he was called to be. And if we, this is an image that we can appreciate here in the Willamette Valley. What he's saying is, if you're plowing a field, whether in our case it'd be a tractor, but they had a team of oxen and it was a double plow, and if you're plowing this way, you're going to end up with a field that looks like this, aren't you? So I was talking to somebody last night, Bob, who plows the field back here, and he says, "Well, Father, we've solved that problem. We've got GPS. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is my spiritual GPS. He'll keep your plow going straight. But he does require us not to be pining away for something that might have been, should have been, would have been, could have been, still might be. And meanwhile, we're neglecting the field that God gave us. It's a distraction. Yeah, sure, the field might be better over there till you get there. And then the field you're in looks pretty good. We all make choices, and sometimes they're not the best ones. But God's mission for me is where I'm at right now. If I'm in Avamere, all across the street, and I feel I have nothing to do, my mission is to be kind to the people around me and to be, you know, you're living your life as an offering to God. When I'm in school, that's my mission right now. There's always a challenge involved with this. My family is not perfect. There's always something, crises. You know, I'm unemployed or underemployed, or I'm not happy in my job somewhere, or I am happy, but my mission is to the people around me. They're not all Christians, but they're not all Catholics. But my mission is to be Christ to them. We all have a mission. It's where you are right now. One of the biggest mistakes we all make, and I've done it many times, is looking over towards something else that passed by long ago. Might even be a deceased relative or something. Well, that opportunity is gone, but there's other ones coming up. And so the Lord stands in the future calling us forward. And in this gospel, then, we too are walking with Jesus on the journey of life. The Eucharistic prayer I'm using today, we have the four, we used to call them the Swiss prayers. They're now normative for the Catholic Church. And this one is called Jesus, Who Went About Doing Good. And it talks about the pilgrimage of life. We're on a pilgrimage of life, and periodically, Christ is going to invite us to take a risk. We heard that last week. He's going to invite us on the journey. He's going to challenge us out of our comfort zone. He's going to give us opportunities that are going to require an immediate answer. And if you're not prepared, we're not praying, we're not listening to the Spirit, we won't recognize it, and it will pass us by. Even that can be a blessing because we'll learn the next time it happens. So Jesus, this gospel then, turns out it's for all of us. We don't always make all of the opportunities God offers us, but please God, He's very merciful, like He was to the Samaritans, so He is with us. We don't always welcome His presence or His actions in our lives, but when we do, it's always the best investment we will ever make.